Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Tougher sentences for knife crime, minimum jail terms for people convicted of serious offences, and more prison spaces. They're some of the law and order proposals that Simon Harris wants to move forward with as he takes over as Taoiseach. Well, here to debate these proposals, we have Senator Barry Ward, Fine Gael Justice spokesperson in the Shannon, and Saoirse Brady, who's Executive Director with the Irish Penal Reform Trust. Thank you both for coming in. So we're hearing in the news headlines about the longer sentences for knife crime. Helen McEntee bringing this to Cabinet today. So we'll have 2 years, this is her wish, 2 years added on to a knife crime sentence from 5 to 7 years. And you'd have to wonder, Barry, will that deter somebody from carrying a knife and using it?
It's not just any knife crime, it's particularly serious crime. And so, for example, she isn't proposing to increase the sentence for simple possession of a knife, which can be found in lots of different circumstances. But the ones she's focusing on are where somebody produces the knife in the course of a dispute, somebody produces a knife to intimidate somebody, produce a knife in very particular circumstances that is much more serious than simple possession.
And that sentence went up from 1 to 5 years back in 2016, but we've more people carrying knives, you know, now than we had then, far more, in fact. It doesn't really work, does it?
Well, it does, because it is a deterrent for people. I mean, ultimately, the deterrent is always will always be that people think they're going to get caught. So if people feel they won't get caught, then this doesn't work. But with the increased number of Gardaí and the increased powers and resources for Gardaí, we hope that will have an effect. But it's really important to mark the fact that certain types of knife crime are more serious. Certain types of crime have a huge impact on the victim. They will have a long-standing effect on the victim. So possession of knife, for example, you may not have an identifiable victim, but in the crimes that the minister is talking about today are ones where a knife has been produced to intimidate someone, for example. Okay. That'll have an effect on that person, and it's appropriate that there should be a higher tariff for that.
Saoirse, does it work?
I think the fact that we have, you know, seen an increase in sentences for knife crime, as you mentioned, Claire, and then we're increasing it again because there has been an increase in people carrying knives, I think shows that perhaps it doesn't work. We think that sentencing isn't just about a deterrent or punishment. It needs to be about reform and rehabilitation. And if you actually look at what they've done in Scotland, you know, there is one programme there, which is a youth empowerment programme. It's called No Knives, Better Lives. When they took that approach to it, when they actually empowered young people and put investment into youth work, what you found was an 85% reduction in convictions for knife crime and a wider ripple effect across society as a whole. So really, I think this is trying to treat the symptom rather than actually the root cause.
Yeah, they had a knife amnesty, didn't they, in Scotland as well? I know Catherine Murphy from the Social Democrats mentioned this morning on Morning Ireland, which she said was successful. Do they work when countries have amnesties like that?
I think that, you know, the evidence would show that sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I think what we really need to do here is look at why. Why are people carrying knives? And there's been research done in London about why young people in particular might carry knives. And those might be young people who experience homelessness, who come from, you know, communities where there is violence. They come from, you know, maybe homes where there is violence. So we really need to look at that. And I would say we need to look at research into why people feel it's appropriate to carry knives. I don't think that increasing sentences will do anything to actually reduce the knife crime we are seeing.
So what Saoirse is suggesting is this is not a law and order problem, it's a societal problem. Barry, do you agree with that to any extent?
I agree that it is a societal problem, but not that it is not also a law and order problem. But I mean, I will agree with Saoirse on this, and it's absolutely clear that if you're sending people to prison, it is a waste of time and money if you are not putting in place rehabilitation measures to match that. And there are any number of international studies that will back that up. That is undoubtedly true. I suppose what we're looking at now, though, is for example, she made reference to youth diversion programmes that exist in Scotland. They've also been used in England and Wales with good effect. Not all the people who are doing this are young people. And there's a significant problem, particularly of young men in their early 20s and 30s who are involved in knife crime, who would not be addressed by any of those measures. But I still agree that we need to be rehabilitating them. But what this is about more so is sending out a very clear message that certain types of knife crime are going to attract higher sentences, and people need to understand that if they're involved in that behaviour, there will be more serious consequences for them.
Are you concerned in general when you hear Fine Gael talking about longer sentences across the board for serious crime?
I am, because I think it's a doubling down of this law and order agenda. And I don't think, you know, we've seen this government demonstrate leadership. You know, Barry mentioned young people there. And yes, I completely agree that knife crime is just not an issue only for young people, and that we need to put in place preventative measures for society as a whole. You know, putting in place tougher, harsher sentences is not the only answer to actually deter people. As I mentioned earlier,
Of the answer, though?
It is, yeah. So we need principles for sentencing. So if you look at what sentencing is meant to do, what tougher sentences are meant to do, or any sentencing is meant to do, it is around punishment for the crime that somebody has committed. It is around, there is an element of deterrence, but the evidence would demonstrate that that's not always effective. But it's also around reform and rehabilitation. And Barry talked there about that rehabilitation piece. And I know we're going to talk about prison expansion and overcrowding. At the moment, people are not getting the supports that they need in prison to rehabilitate and reform and turn away from a life of crime. That's why we would prefer to see better community-based sanctions for those people at the lower end of the spectrum. But tougher sentences are not going to achieve what we're talking about here. I think between tougher sentences and prison expansion, it is sending entirely the wrong message. It is saying our leaders are saying that more crime is inevitable rather than tackling the root causes of offending in the first place.
Okay, what do you say to that, Barry? That, you know, what your party is saying is we're going to stuff our prisons with more prisoners for a longer period of time because that's what people want us to do. That's our law and order agenda. It's not going to work.
Of course, that's not what we're saying, Claire. But, I mean, first and foremost, you need to
distinguish. Your new leader has spoken about tougher sentences.
Simon Harris said
and
we're going to stuff
prisons. He has backed
with people.
Helen McEntee's plan for 600 more prison places.
And he's also backed her plans for more Gardaí, for more provisions for communities to make them both safer and stronger. So it's not fair to say that we're saying we're going to fill the prisons. There's two things I think is really important to distinguish the types of offenders
we're
talking
about. Because the prisons are already full.
Which is, and I know we're going to talk about prison places and I'll come to that. But in terms of offenders, there are two types of offenders really in the mix here. The first is the type that Saoirse are talking about, people who are maybe on the cusp of getting involved in a significant criminal career, particularly very young people, maybe who are being indoctrinated into crime or gangs or whatever it is. They're in a separate category to people who are gone down that road, who are involved in knife crime. We know that where people apprehend that they're going to be caught and punished, they do fear larger sentences. I don't disagree that rehabilitation and measures in prison to steer people away from path of crime are important. They're vital, in fact. You can't do them as it happens when you have too many people in a cell, when you don't have capacity in prisons. You need to address that issue as well. I'm not opposed to community sanctions, but don't tell me that somebody who's involved in gangland activity, who produces a knife on someone to unlawfully intimidate them, is going to be somebody who's deterred by a community sanction. That is not going to work either.
That's not what you're saying.
I'm saying is there are different types of offenders involved, and it's important to address both of those offenders, both those who need to be diverted from criminality, and there are measures for those people in relation to what Minister McEntee has put to Cabinet this morning, but also strong measures in relation to people who need tough justice.
Saoirse?
I think, again, it does send the wrong measure. If we look at our prisons, it's a microcosm of societal issues that we are facing. We're in a cost of living crisis. I don't think it's a coincidence that we are seeing numbers in prisons go up and up. But I suppose we are seeing people with addiction issues. 1 in 10 people, the latest figures would show that 1 in 10 people are entering prison from homelessness and then they're exiting back into homelessness. That's an issue. We are seeing challenges with mental health. We are seeing people with addiction issues. The Irish Prison Service, a last estimate, thought maybe 70% of people in prison may have an addiction issue. And then, you know, if you look at the wider piece as well, the average age of school leaving for the prison population is 14. So we need to be going back. We need to be looking at investing in communities, investing in education and schools. And, you know, if people are leaving school at 14, we need to think about that as well. A one-size-fits-all approach to education.
So you're
work.
Saying that Fine Gael are coming at this problem from the wrong end of it?
I think we need to go back and look at, you know, that 50 million that's been earmarked for increasing prison capacity. I would rather see that put into communities, into mental health care, to make sure that those people who are committing offences because they reach crisis level in terms of their mental health issues don't don't commit a crime at all.
There's another issue I just want to touch on as well, and that is around parole. Just going back to what Simon Harris said at the Ordesh, I will fast track legislation to give judges new powers to make sure heinous criminals serve long sentences before they're even considered for release. Will you explain, Barry, why your party leader believes that's necessary?
Well, at the moment, a judge pronounces a sentence today on a person who's been convicted of a crime, and that person is sent to prison. Essentially, there is then a release from the justice system of any control over that person. The decision on how much time that person actually serves is a function then of the prison service in most sentences except life sentences. So, for example, we know that if somebody is sent to jail for a sentence today, they may not serve that full sentence, depending on the type of offence involved, because violent and sexual offenders will usually serve their full sentence. But other types of offenders will be released depending on the capacity of the prison, the demand on spaces, the whatever other pressures might exist for the prison service. And what the Taoiseach was saying when that policy was outlined was that it should be up to a court to decide, yes, I'm going to sentence this person, let's say, to 20 years or to 15 years, but they will serve a minimum of 10 years or 15 years or whatever it is, that there won't be permission for the Irish Prison Service to decide, oh, we need the space in the cell and therefore we're going to release person. But that policy runs in tandem with the idea that we would create more space within prisons for people who need to serve longer sentences. Mm-hmm. So really what this is giving judges discretion to say in respect of a small number of offenders and offences that there will be a minimum sentence that will be served as well as the actual sentence that's set down.
Okay, and we've heard from families as well who have had to face parole boards and to say why they want someone who they've been the victim of to remain on in prison. And we know that is very difficult for them. Do you think that system needs to be changed, Saoirse?
I don't. I think that everything. So I suppose my understanding of what the new Taoiseach was talking about was minimum tariffs in terms of life sentences. That is one of the priorities in government policy that was published in August 2022. I suppose the parole board is very new. The Parole Act came into being under a Fine Gael Justice Minister, Charlie Flanagan, in 2019. You are eligible to apply for parole at 10 and a half years. You are not eligible to get parole before 12 years. It is very unlikely that anyone will get parole at the 12-year mark. But the current parole board, it was set up as an independent statutory agency to take the politics out of these decisions. And if you look at the mission statement of the parole board, it talks about making impartial decisions. It talks about being fair to parole applicants and listening to victims. And if you look at the numbers, so in the first year of operation, the parole board started operating in 2021, sorry, so the first annual report was 2022. There were 22 applications for parole and only one person actually their application was granted.
Is it fair though to expect the family to go in after somebody who may have murdered their loved one, to expect them to go in after 10 and a half years and say why that person should have to remain in prison?
I understand, and I don't want to take away from anything that a victim has gone through, and they, I'm sure, are re-traumatised every single day of their lives thinking about the loved one that they have lost. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the criminal justice system, we have to retain the belief that people have the capacity to change. And I think the parole system is the fairest way to do that, because they will look at the severity and gravity of the offence committed. They'll look at how long a person has served. They will look to see if that person has actually taken steps to rehabilitate and reform. And if you really want safer communities, because that person may be released at some point, if you really want them to reform, you need them to be engaging from day one with the hope and expectation that they may be released one day.
I need to leave that here, but very quick point, Barry, to finish.
Yeah, it's a small number of offences where it is appropriate to say somebody must serve a minimum sentence. Particularly heinous crimes deserve that certainty.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it there. But thank you both for coming in. That's Senator Barry Ward, Fine Gael, and Saoirse Brady from the Irish Penal Reform Trust. Now, we're going to be talking about the Warmer Home Scheme. And if you have any questions, do get them into us. 51551, that's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.